Blue Ribbon Beer proudly presents
The Eddie Cantor Past Blue Ribbon Show.
With the Metropolitan Opera star Laurits Melchior, Billy Burke, Cookie Fairchild's Orchestra, yours truly Harry Von Zell, and the presidential candidate who is unquestionably low man on a Gallup poll, Eddie Cantor. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, running for president calls for tremendous physical effort. And frankly, Eddie Cantor's campaign is proving much too great a strain on the little fella. As a matter of fact, it grieves me to report that Eddie is now in a very weakened condition. When we sat down to breakfast at his house this morning, poor Eddie seemed unusually run
down. I'm awfully glad that you came over here. Look at me, Harry. I'm weak as a kitten. I've lost my appetite. Harry, why don't you look at me?
Well, why should I lose my appetite?
Honest, Harry, you wouldn't believe this, but when I woke up this morning, I couldn't breathe. And a little sparrow was chirping on my windowsill. With my last ounce of strength, Harry, I lifted the window and inhaled.
Yeah, well, what happened?
The sparrow exhaled and blew me right back into bed.
Well, Eddie, running for presidency is ruining your health. I can see that.
Believe me, Harry, I can't even fall asleep at night.
Well, did you try counting sheep?
Oh, Harry, there aren't enough sheep to make me fall asleep.
Well, so what did you count?
Republican candidates.
Eddie, listen, that is ridiculous. How can Republican candidates put you to sleep?
You never heard any of their speeches, did you?
Oh, Eddie, listen, now stop knocking the Republican candidate.
I'm sorry, Harry. They're fine men, and they make just as much sense as I do.
Stop knocking the Republican candidate. Gosh, with a conscience like yours, it's no wonder you can't sleep.
Believe me, last night was the worst.
Why?
All night long, I kept pacing up and down, reciting campaign speeches, playing phonograph records. I kept the whole house awake. Finally, Ida got up and gave me some coffee to put me to sleep.
How could coffee put you to sleep?
She hit me with the pot. Look at my head, Harry.
What?
Two bumps.
Yeah, two bumps?
One for Chase and one for Sanborn.
Well, listen, Eddie, maybe you should change your mind about becoming a politician.
No, Harry, I've made up my mind. Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be president. I've got to get to Washington.
Look, Eddie, it's been such a strain on you. When are you going to relax? When are you going to sit down, stop thinking, and start loafing?
As soon as I get to Washington. Why should I be different?
Look, why wait till you get to Washington? You're a sick man right now.
You're right. Read my thermometer. Look what it says. 92. And my heart, Harry, it's not beating. I haven't heard a peep out of it for three weeks.
Oh, well, now you're being silly. If your heart stopped beating for 3 weeks, you wouldn't be standing here right now looking like... Hey, maybe you're right. Eddie, I guess there's just no cure for you unless you can forget the presidential election.
How can I forget it? Look, I even have pictures of all the other candidates on my mantle. Stassen, Taft, MacArthur. And here's a picture of Tom Dewey, see?
Yeah. Well, isn't that an unusually large mustache Mr. Dewey is wearing?
What mustache? That's the brush he got in Wisconsin.
Well, look, now let me ask you something man to man. With Mr. Dewey and General MacArthur and all those other great men in the presidential race, what makes you think you have a chance?
Haven't you ever heard of a dark horse, Harry?
Oh.
Lots of times the people have been... Well, they've had a lot of good candidates, and they can't choose between them, so that's when they pick the dark horse.
Eddie, it's all right to pick the dark horse, but what do they want with the old gray mare?
Does anybody have Don Wilson's phone number? Yeah, the nerve of you insulting the next president of the White House. Shame on you,
Harry. Well, maybe the present occupant will stay. Frankly, I think President Truman did a very fine job in keeping the railroads running.
Well, Harry, he had to keep the railroads running.
Why?
He never knows when he's going to have to go back to Missouri. But one thing you can depend...
Somebody at the door.
I'll get it, Harry. I'm expecting Billy Burke. She's still handling my campaign in Pasadena, you know.
Hello, Eddie.
Well, hello, Billy Burke. Tell me, how is my presidential campaign coming along in Pasadena?
Just wonderful, Eddie. You are running neck and neck with Hoover.
We were thinking, Billy, if Eddie's to win the presidency, he ought to have the wealthy upper classes in back of him, you know.
Yeah, do you know any society folks you might line up?
Oh, certainly. I have a book listing the most prominent socialites in America. And it might interest you to know that the name Eddie Cantor is in one of those books.
In Who's Who?
No, Who's He?
Who's He?
Well, frankly, we of the smart set know very little about you, Eddie. That's why the ladies of Pasadena want you to fill out this questionnaire.
Well, yeah, I guess the Pasadena vote is pretty important, huh?
Oh, yes. We set the pattern for other social centers, Mr. Von Zell. Well, you know the old saying, as Pasadena goes, so goes Pomona.
Well, goodbye.
Where are you going, Harry?
As Pomona goes, so goes Von Zell.
Billy, look, before filling out this questionnaire, tell me, what type of candidate do socialites usually vote for?
Well, they prefer a man of profound dignity, tall, well-educated.
Tall, well-educated?
I'll fill out the questionnaire as you give me the answers. First, your name.
Eddie Cantor.
Birthplace?
New York.
Schooling?
Notre Dame graduate.
Schooling?
1 year at Notre Dame.
Your name?
Eddie Cantor.
Schooling.
3 months in high school.
Weight?
140.
Height?
6'5".
Your name?
Eddie Cantor.
Hair?
Yes.
Eyes?
5'6".
Schooling?
Grammar school graduate.
Present address.
Beverly Hills.
Weight?
140.
Name of nearest bank.
Al Jolson.
Age?
140. Jolson, not me.
Schooling?
I was expelled from the second grade.
Why were you expelled from the second grade?
The teacher found out I was married. What do you want from me?
About all, except that I do hope you'll come to the surprise party I'm giving in your honor today.
Oh, you're giving me a surprise party? Who's attending?
Oh, the cream of Pasadena society. Most of the music lovers. Long hair, you know.
Yeah.
As a special attraction, I promised them that you'd bring along that great star of the Metropolitan Opera Company, Lawrence Melchior.
Lawrence Melchior?
Yes.
Now we'll have to hire him and got... Why, he's the highest paid star in opera. He'll cost me $5,000. $5,000 he'll cost
me. Now, Eddie, don't you go getting your blood pressure up to normal over this.
Oh, well, I guess it's a cheap price for all the votes I'll get, huh?
Of course. My guests simply adore the opera.
How about yourself, Billy? Do you like the opera?
Oh, yes. Everything except the singing. I attend regularly because it's the only chance I get to use my lorgnette.
Lorgnette?
Yes, you know, a lorgnette is one of those things you look through with one eye.
Yeah.
That's so you can use the other eye to look round to see who's looking at you looking through that silly-looking thing with one eye.
Oh, yes. Yes. Jack Benny bought one of those things for Mary. Jack is just crazy about the opera.
Oh, is Mr. Benny a long hair?
I refuse to read what's written here. Billy, I imagine your guests have seen Mr. Melchior many times.
Oh, they've never seen him. He hasn't yet appeared in Pasadena.
Well, why didn't they go to see him when he appeared in Los Angeles?
No one from Pasadena would be found dead in Los Angeles.
Billy, what time should I bring Lawrence Melchior to the party?
We'll come over in an hour or so. And, Eddie, if you do become president, I hope you'll run your country fairly and honestly. Goodbye.
Well, just wait a minute. Billy, if you're afraid I might turn out to be a crooked politician, let me tell you something.
What?
My veracity and perspicacity are predominating.
They are? Well, I suppose it's all right as long as they're married.
Well, Eddie, I heard the whole thing. Now you're in a fix. You've got to go out and hire Lawrence Melchior, $5,000.
No, I don't. Billy Burke said her guests have never seen Lawrence Melchior.
Hmm?
And you know something? Neither have I. So I'm just going to hire some cheap guy to impersonate him.
An impersonator?
Sure. Maybe I can find a good one at that conservatory around the corner. You know, the Schnook School.
Yeah?
I'll probably be able to pick up a singer nice and cheap for about $2, huh, Harry?
$2?
No?
Eddie, how can you be so tight with your money? After all, you can't take it with you.
I won't have to. Jolson promised to keep shipping it to me.
In the first place, if it's an opera singer you wanted, why didn't you ask me?
I would like... You an opera singer?
Sure. People used to call me the second Lawrence Tibbet.
What made them stop?
The first Lawrence Tibbet.
But, Harry, I didn't know you ever sang an opera.
You didn't? Well, listen to this. Smart people buy Blue Ribbon beer. Telling you why is my career. No other beer is half so swell as Pabst Blue Ribbon sold by H. Bonzel.
Splendid, splendid, makes it always so delightful.
Always pleases, great with cheeses or potato chips. Pay Blue Ribbon to the grocery clerk, otherwise I'll be out of work. Now I'm just telling you, man to man, get the bottle or I get the can.
I'm Blue,
the best on any table.
I'm Blue,
the ribbon on the label.
In my opinion, filet mignon may as well be mulligan too. If it's not accompanied by that Blue Ribbon brew.
Not too dark and not too light. Blue Ribbon is exactly right.
Come everybody.
Exactly right.
Come everybody and drink a toast to the beer discriminating folks like most.
Blue Ribbon beer is what we sell. It's great.
Besides, it keeps fun sale from the obscurity of social security.
I'll do it again.
If you do, I'll break your arm. Wait. No. Come on, Harry. Let's get over to the Schnook School, remember?
Attention, Schnooks. Attention. Thank you. As you know, this is alumni day for us Schnooks. And as head Schnook, I'm happy to welcome back all you other Schnooks. We have the literature graduates, or a book schnooks, the domestic science graduates, or a cook schnooks, and the real estate graduates who now sell houses to veterans, the rook schnooks. Also with us is the biggest schnook of all, Lawrence Melchior. Today, he graciously consented to return to the old school and sing for you students. Here he is, the leading tenor of the Metropolitan Opera, Mr. Lawrence Melchior.
Thank you. I will sing Vesti la Giuba from Pagliacci.
Hurry inside, Harry. Well, hey, it looks like something's going on in here.
Yeah, that big fellow up there looks like he's going to sing. He must be one of the students, huh?
Yeah. I think he's going to be our pigeon.
Huh?
Looks to me like a sucker.
Oh. Right.
If he sings any good, we'll grab him for $2 and have him impersonate Lawrence Melchior.
Hey, yeah, let's listen to him.
he's through singing, Harry. Come on outside.
Eddie, now that you heard the guy sing, what do you think of his voice?
Well, he's no Arthur Godfrey, you know. He's not even as good as Lawrence Melchior.
No. Well, at least he sings loud.
Yeah, he's loud.
No, sir, when he hit that high note, sounded like he backed into a mix master.
Harry, you know, after all, he's a poor, struggling student. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in that school.
Yeah.
Where's Stockman? What's the difference?
Sure.
As soon as he comes out of the school, let's tell him he's got to impersonate Lawrence Melchior at Billy Burke's party and offer him the $2.
Huh? Yeah, okay. Well, we better be diplomatic about it because... Oh, he's coming out now. But, psst. Hey, Schmo.
Excuse me, gentlemen. But was that for me?
Yeah. Listen, kid. How would you like to make yourself $2?
$2? $2?
He's too anxious, Harry. Let's knock off a quarter.
Look, Jumbo. This $2 is very easy money. You see, all you have to do is come with us and sing 9 or 10 songs.
Just a moment. Are you trying to pull my neck?
Pull it. I couldn't even lift it. See what a plump one he is.
Now listen, Plumpy.
Yeah, what do you want?
Not you, the other one. Listen, big boy, you can't afford to turn down this lucrative offer. Remember, $2 will pay for your singing lessons. And brother, you need singing lessons.
I agree. But tell me, who are you?
I'm Eddie Cantor.
Keep the $2. You need the singing lessons more than I do.
I agree, but let's get to the point. To help my presidential campaign, I'm being given a party in Pasadena today, and I have to put on a show. Do you think you can impersonate an opera singer, huh?
Why not? I've been impersonating one for 25 years.
Good, good, good. Then you can sing the songs, and I can be the comedian, see?
You? The comedian?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? He's been impersonating one for 35 years.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't go along with you, Mr.
Oh, but Kemper. You must. Look at, fella, I'm in a spot. We advertised that a big opera star would appear at the party, but I don't want to pay him $5,000.
Yeah, don't you get it? He wants to get a cheap creep like you to impersonate him.
To impersonate who?
Lawrence Melchior.
That is very interesting.
Yeah?
I am to impersonate Melchior for $2. Isn't that rather a small amount of money?
Look, I'm only expecting you to impersonate Lawrence Melchior. You don't have to sing good like Perry Como.
Perry Como? Who is she?
She is a heat. It doesn't matter. If you'll only come and sing at the party, I promise you, you'll have a load of laughs. Can't you see the humor in the situation?
What humor?
Well, Melchior would cost me a fortune, but this way... This way I get my opera singer, you get the $2, and together we finagle Lawrence Melchior out of $5,000.
Mr. Cantor, yeah. Please clear up this point of law for me. Since you advertised that Mr. Melchior would appear, what would happen if he did show up at the party?
I wouldn't have a leg to stand on. I'd have to pay the old smoke $5,000.
In that case, hop into my car and let's go.
You're going to take me?
Am I going to take you?
Oh, wonderful. What laughs we have. Harry, what are you laughing at?
I just read the last page.
Oh, stop it. Listen, Mr. Whatever. There's just one more thing before we go. Luckily, I happen to read a book about Melchior, so in case any of the guests ask you a question about his family life, I can tell you everything, his whole life story. In the first place, Melchior has 3 children.
But that's wrong. Melchior has only 2 children.
3?
2?
Are you telling me after I read it in print? How can you tell me about Lawrence Melchior's family?
How can you tell me?
I know the author of the book.
I know the author of the family.
All right. Just change it to 3, that's all. And here's something else to remember. Melchior's youngest child is a boy.
That's a girl.
It's a boy.
I have always been of the opinion that it's a girl.
You'll have to change it to a boy.
That may be rather difficult.
Wait a minute. Don't be so tough on the fellow.
What's so tough? I only asked him to change a girl to a boy.
Well, if you couldn't do it, how do you expect him to...
Come on, we're off to Billy Bright's house.
Oh, man, what a spanky party.
Now, try to act refined, will you, big boy? Remember, you're impersonating Melchior. Oh, Billy! Billy! Come here a minute. Lawrence Melchior, I want you to meet your hostess, Billy Burke.
I am too pleased to meet you, madame. I assure you, I am delightful.
Oh, oh, Mr. Melchior, you have such a charming Russian accent. Oh, you must be from Germany.
Germany?
I'm from Denmark.
Oh, vive la France! Melchior, are any other members of your family famous in the music world?
Oh, yes, indeed. No doubt you have heard of my father, Guy Lombardo.
Lombardo, the harmonica player. Tell me, Mr. Melchior, what is your mother's name?
Nelson Etty.
Morris is always joking, Billy. He makes jokes.
Come, let's go into the ballroom, Mr. Melchior. You'll simply adore singing before my lady friends. They're such an impressive group. No doubt you're acquainted with the type.
Indeed. Many times I have seen them on the stage. The way you society women sit there with your mouth open, wrapped in mink coats, sabers, silver foxes.
Oh, isn't that impressive?
Madam, it looks like feeding time at the Griffith Park Zoo. Mr. Cantor, I have sung for the gift. How about my money?
Well, here's your $2, fella. Did I put one over on Melchior, getting a student like you from the Schnook School of Music to impersonate him? Just think, if the real Lawrence Melchior had sung that song, I'd be forced to pay him $5,000. By the way, I never asked you your name. I want to keep it. I make speech at some party, you know, bar mitzvah, something. There, tell me, who are you anyway?
My name is Lauritz Melchior.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cantor will be revived and transcribed so he may be heard at a more convenient time.
Melchior, my guests are so alarmed. They're walking out on my party. You must do something to detain them.
I shall. Anything to keep a lady in dress.
33 fine fruits blended into one great bear. 23 fine fruits
blended into one great bear. Why, Mr. Melchior... Thirty-three great brews. Why, that's our Pabst Blue Ribbon theme song. And you know, it doesn't surprise me in the least that a man of your good taste sings the praises of Pabst Blue Ribbon, because during the past 104 years, Pabst Blue Ribbon scientists have been pioneering in every branch of the art of brewing, always seeking new ways to improve the taste, the flavor, and the quality of their beer. This restless search for knowledge led to another great Pabst development, the science of blending. You see, it's the skillful blending of those nevertheless that protects the uniformity, the identical quality of Pabst Blue Ribbon day after day, year after year. That's why you'll find this internationally famous beverage of moderation served in the homes of discriminating people, like Mr. and Mrs. Gregory Peck, Mr. and Mrs. Bob Hope, Mr. and Mrs. Gary Cooper.
And Mrs. Lawrence Mercer.
Yes, that's right, and thank you. Yes, friends, it's the science of blending added to the art of brewing that has made millions settle down to blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon.
33 fine brews blended into one.
Well, I've snapped out of it, Billy. I'm all right now, and Lawrence Melchior, even though you tricked me, I'm going to give you what's coming to you. Here's my personal check for $5,000.
Your check?
Yes, you seem disappointed. Why?
Oh, don't think I'm ungrateful, Eddie. This taxi is so pretty and the signature is fine, but I'll feel better if you pay to me cash on the line. The bank, she says, your check is like a haunting melody. It may leave for a while, but it will soon bounce back to me.
When?
Mañana, mañana.
Mañana is soon enough for me.
Arriba!
Azusa!
Kurunga!
I do not like the way that Lawrence Melchior, he sings. Although his notes are clear as bells, they don't bang bang like bings. He's always in a restaurant. That's why he is so stout. If he goes in to eat tonight, you know when he'll come out?
When?
Mañana.
Mañana.
Mañana, it is soon enough for me.
Arriba.
Arriba.
Gesundheit.
That I am through, that I really am not sane, that I have a Hoover vacuum where I ought to have a brain. I went to my psychiatrist. He worked on me all day. He psychoanalyzed me. Now they're taking him away.
When?
Mañana. Mañana. Mañana is soon enough for me.
Arriba!
Avira!
Avira, what's that?
Arriba spelled backwards. Selling Pep Blue Ribbon, I am sure I have no fear. My diction is terrific, every word is true and clear. The sponsor loved me dearly, I have won his constant praise. But do you know what Cantor says when I ask for a raise?
What?
Mañana!
Mañana!
Yeah, but mañana isn't soon enough for me.
When one is working for one, and from one one gets one's pay, then one should be more careful what that one to one doth say. But one has just decided one will give one cause for cheer.
One is going to raise one's salary?
Yes, one extra case of beer.
And?
Blue Ribbon.
Oh, Blue Ribbon.
Blue Ribbon with cold cuts on the side.
Mañana. Mañana.
Be sure to be with us next Thursday night when our guest will be Mr. Otto Gerth, the mayor of Beverly Hills, and when we salute the 300,000 policemen who preserve American law and order. Until then, please remember,
I love to spend each Thursday with you.
Good night, everybody.
Lawrence Melchior will soon be seen in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Technicolor Luxury Line. Friends, you can help win the world's battle against starvation by growing at least a part of your own food. Plant a home garden, won't you please? This program, produced and directed by Vic Knight, written this week by Joe Quillen, is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois, and sent your way with the best wishes of the Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.